Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After Jesus had revealed himself to his disciples and eaten breakfast with them, he said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Then he said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that he had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Jesus. All right, please be seated. Good to see all of you kids, and all of you who are dressed like your kids. I almost thought you were a couple of high schoolers or something wearing your resurrection sweatshirts. Three times Jesus challenges Peter. So it's kind of a cool gospel. This is after Jesus is already resurrected, and then he spends the next 40 days kind of appearing and disappearing and like popping up unexpectedly, boop, here I am, and then like leaves a little message and leaves him again. But Jesus said something. He says, "Simon Peter, do you love me?" First of all, why would Jesus be asking Peter, "Do you love me?" Jesus, you know, Peter was, he's the first pope of good grief. You'd hope the first pope would love Jesus, right? But Jesus wasn't doing this because he didn't know that Simon Peter loved him and cared about him and all that, that he wasn't a good friend. He was doing it because Peter doubted. Peter had betrayed Jesus three times, and Jesus was building him up. And even though it was kind of a hard lesson, three times he challenges him so that Peter finally kind of breaks down and says, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you, even though I'm so weak and whatnot." And then Jesus promises him at the end. He says, "Look, someday, earlier on, you promised that you would give your life for me, and you totally collapsed." He said, "But someday you will be strong enough." So it's promising him, yeah, all those things that you wanted to do, there will come a day that you will be strong enough. And it's kind of encouraging him, okay? But I think there's something else that's important there. It says, if you love me, Jesus always gives him a condition. Number one, feed my lambs. Second time, "Simon, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Tend my sheep." Thirdly, "Simon, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Feed my sheep. So what's he doing? He says, if you love, it's not enough just to say that you love, and it's not just enough just to feel warm fuzzies and all that. If we truly love, we have to do something about it. We have to serve others. We have to put it into action. If we love, it's not enough just to say, "Oh, I love all humanity and I want everyone just to have peace and everything," and not be willing to lift a finger to do anything about it. Now, I realize sometimes we look at ourselves and what in the world can I do about it? I'm going to give you one story. It's probably not something any of you guys can do either, but anyway, it's a good example. I remember about 10 years ago or 15 years ago or something like that, I saw some video and I really liked it. It was, I think the guy was from Uganda. He was African. Where was Idi Amin? Was that Uganda? You remember Idi Amin? He was a dictator back in the 80s, and he was like bad news. So you know, he says, "You know, my country was a paradise when I was growing up, and then this dictator took over, and it turned into like practically living hell. It was a horrible place." So he said, "People were just going around starving, and like my family, and I lived months," he said, "you know, in these camps, just trying to survive." And one of the things he said, you know, the problem, food and water was a problem, but he said another thing you don't normally think of that was a serious problem was soap. He said, a lot of people were just dying from diseases because we didn't have soap to wash our hands, and, you know, things were just so unsanitary and it was just bad. So eventually, I don't remember how, you know, the United Nations or something came in and he managed to find his way to one of those camps and he got out. And he was an educated, smart guy. And he comes to the United States with no money, and they put him up in a hotel. And you know how when you go to a hotel, they've got all those little bars of soap? You guys have been there, right? Hotels, motels, and you get in the bath and you get like three of those bars of soap. So he was like, this is gold. So even though he hardly used the first one, he stuck the other two in his bag. And then later on he felt guilty. There says, oh no, they're going to charge me and I don't have any money. I can't even afford this. So he tells the lady, he says, I've got to admit, I stole your soap. And she just busts out laughing. She's like, everybody takes the soap and shampoo. And he realized, you know, and then everyone always leaves the one that's used behind, right? You use it like once or twice. You got basically a perfectly good bar of soap there, but somebody's used it, so I don't want to use it, right? And he says, man, what do we do with all the soap? There's thousands of people coming through here. And he started a foundation. Now, this guy had practically no money. He just came, you know, he's a refugee. But he starts a foundation, starts talking to different hotels and restaurants and all these people that have those little bars of soap and going around. He says, look, when you're done, will you have, instead of throwing them away like you always do, will you give them to me? I'll send out guys with just garbage bags and we'll collect them. And he started melting them down and turning them into bars of soap. Not very pretty, they're kind of ugly and square, but you know, perfectly usable bars of soap. And he started shipping them back to Africa. He started this charity. Basically realizing there are people that really need this and I can do something about it, okay? Now, do I expect any of you guys right now, and I don't know what grade are you in, 6th, 7th, 8th? 6, okay. I was gonna guess 6. I'm not expecting any of you guys in the 6th grade to up and start a foundation that's gonna send soap to Africa, but the point is this, each one of us, if we are attentive, each one of us sees that there are people out there that need, and they don't have to be in Africa. They don't even have to be in downtown New York. They could be across the street. They could be in my classroom. If we love, then we need to find, what can I do, big or small, to help this person who is in need? Person could be feeling down. Person could be unpopular. Person could be, you know, a homeless person, whatever. When we see a person who is in need, in a big way or small way, if we truly love and if we want to love, then we have to do something. It's not enough just to have the nice thoughts and to say, well, I liked a bunch of posts. You know, I go through social media 10 minutes a day and I just like all my friends' posts. That doesn't do anything. That doesn't do, I'm sorry, maybe your friend feels a little warm fuzzies when you like their posts, but realistically, that doesn't do anything. It's got to cost us a little bit. So this is our challenge. I don't have any practical ideas as to what a 6th grader can do. You know what? But I am willing to bet all of you are better at being 6th graders than I am. So all of you can probably come up with all kinds of great ways that you as 6th graders in Resurrection, in Rye, can think of, how can I look around and see the needs of the people around me? And how can I do something in order to love? In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.